The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, and it makes me very happy to share the results of a new poll that just came out regarding the 2025 governor's race in New Jersey. Make your say for the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's a beautiful place to be this summer and the fall, and join us August 15th for our next live show. And don't forget our big Politics and Pints, our next speaker series event together. Me and my buddy Gianno Caldwell on stage together, one night only, Thursday, July 31st, Bucks County Community College. It's easy to get to from Jersey, easy to get to from everywhere. And we'll have a great night. Politics and Pints. We'll have fun. Just go to 1210wphg.com. Get your tickets. Get a copy of his book. We'll talk about all kinds of different things, and it'll be a great night together. So please do it, and do it today before the event sells out. 1210wphg.com. So the poll that came out shows Jack Cittarelli is down by 5 points against Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat candidate for governor. To be 5 points down right now in July is amazing. That's amazing. Because first of all, there's a margin of error of like 3%. But I think the polls, in my opinion, and this is a Kellyanne Conway poll. She's very good. It's her super PAC who did it. So it's going to try to reflect, obviously, that Jack is doing well. So in that sense, I'll take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But in the sense of looking at it, that he's within striking distance tells me that he's doing even better because of the fact that the polls in the past have showed double-digit leads by Democrats that Republicans had to try to somehow catch up and gain ground, and that is an almost impossible thing to do. So going into November right now, for her to be up a couple points is exactly what you would expect. And then as people come back from the summer and their summer vacations and the break and they start to pay attention to things and they drill into this a little bit more, then that's where things change. The elections really don't get started till after Labor Day. It's funny. I mean, I was talking yesterday to a buddy of mine and we were saying, yeah, I mean, it's July, it's June. We used to talk about slow summer stuff, but we had a debate in June, right? Joe Biden last June was a debate. Why was that debate done? That debate was done, obviously, to take him out of the race for president, clearly. But it's July. Most people are on vacation. They're enjoying the fact that I saw gas. It's under $3 a gallon now. Costco today, it's like $2.89, I think, or something. It's good. It's very good. People are having fun. They're not thinking about the New Jersey governor's race. When they get back, their kids go back to school, and they start hearing about the issues around, and I'm using air quotes here, affordable housing and how it's coming to a town near you. So a New Jersey town is ignoring the state's order to build affordable housing. And thanks to Johnny Cook for sending this my way. Reason.com wrote an article about that. And I think every town should just do that. There's this Mount Laurel decision that was made many, many years ago by the state Supreme Court. And it said every town has to have their fair share of, quote unquote, affordable housing. And then his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, subpoenaed by the New Jersey United States Attorney, Alina Haba. Because you remember when Murphy said he had an undocumented migrant living above his garage? Do you remember that? Those were the words he used. An undocumented migrant living above his garage. Well, now they subpoenaed him because they want him to answer for that confession that he was harboring somebody who's in this country illegally. So watch for that. His Highness will, I'm sure, be trying to fight that. But that'll be a fun one to watch. Anyway. Now that you've got towns that are turning around and going, you know what? Well, no, we're not doing anything. And my advice to every town out there is don't do a damn thing. Just wait it out. Wait till the governor's race happens. Another commissioner on the Board of Public Utilities resigned today. The whack job who took the seat of my friend Diane Solomon, she's gone. So good riddance to her. And hopefully those seats don't get filled. Because if Jack Cittarelli wins, if the Republican wins, everything is on the table for change. So I would say if your town is trying to push this affordable housing nonsense, fight back. Go to the town council meetings and say to them, would you just wait till November, please? Would you just wait and see what we can do about this? Because I think that if you can revisit this Supreme Court decision and find out what authority the governor has to be able to stop it, And who knows what authority can be invoked? I mean, the New Jersey governor is very powerful. I've seen them invoke all kinds of authority to stop building in the past from preserving things. Northwest New Jersey, great example of this. The Skylands area, as they call it. Think about the Pine Barrens. There are parts of the state you can't build on. They come out with orders that say you can't build within a certain feet from wetlands. Your own house, you may deal with this situation. You try to put a pool in the backyard. They go, oh, yeah, you're too close to the wetlands, or you don't have enough. There's not enough cover in the backyard, whatever the formula is. I don't know. But, yeah, they do that stuff all the time. The Skylands up in northwest New Jersey, where Crystal Springs is, my buddy Andy Mulvihill's resort, they wanted to build a big ski resort there, and they had this preservation that they put in so you couldn't build anything. And they had to work all these deals out with the Democrats to be able to carve out an exception. So they do this all the time. Find a way to do that to stop the affordable housing. I don't know. Play the reverse game with the left that they always do. Say it's for the climate. You're not going to allow all these houses to be built, whatever it is. But either way, there's an election coming in November. Nothing should happen until then. Nothing. So if your town is in the midst right now figuring out how they're going to handle their affordable housing requirement by the state, you show up, you go to the town council meeting or the borough meeting, whatever your form of municipal government is, and you tell them, don't. Just like Biden told Iran, don't. Seriously, tell them don't. Tell them to wait. I love they subpoenaed Murphy. I think that is is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. I love that. Alina Haba, good for her. Federal prosecutors in New Jersey try to find out if his royal ruggedness and the remarks that he made, whether or not he was saying them in jest or not, and if the undocumented migrant is still above his garage. Not at the official governor's mansion in Drum Thwacket. Oh, you have the audio? Here's his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, what he said. Take a listen.
This isn't a trans case, but Tammy and I were talking about, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her. So it's going to be a whole combination, all of the above. And the one I fear, which is why the size of this crowd, and Marcia, you're doing this, I think, is meaningful. I'm the former U.S. ambassador to Germany, which, by the way, is going through hell right now.
Go back there, all right, or to your palace in Italy, Your Highness. But, yeah, so she subpoenaed. They want to talk to him. They want to talk to him and find out, were you really harboring an illegal immigrant above your garage, or were you just saying that? You lie all the time, so is the person still there, your royal ruggedness? Can we talk to them? You don't have the right to harbor illegal immigrants. You don't have some sort of special power. The New Jersey governor is very powerful. Don't get me wrong, but you don't have the right to harbor people above your garage. Murphy wants to run for president in 2028. So does Gavin Newsom. So Gavin Newsom continuing with his reinvention tour. Tell you what, I'm getting really sick and tired of these people going on his podcast. I get it. They want to promote themselves. I understand. But stop doing it. Stop normalizing this guy. He's a scumbag, lying creep. He's a shapeshifter. He's the biggest shapeshifter out there. Him, you know what? I'm so sick of this, too, with Fetterman, too, with everybody acting like, oh, John Fetterman, you know, he's so different now. Oh, he's not. Gets away with it with the shorts and hoodie. Same guy, just saying what he thinks you want to hear. Gavin Newsom doing this, too. Gavin Newsom, remember the guy got arrested on a surfboard? He was out surfing during COVID. Because they thought he was going to give COVID to Aquaman or something like this. So he's on a podcast with former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan has him on his podcast. Is it Newsom's podcast and Ryan is his guest, or did Ryan have him on his podcast?
No, Newsom was the guest.
Okay, Sean Ryan should not have invited Gavin Newsom on his podcast. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Enough with this guy. So here we go right now, announcing that he's doing an independent an objective investigation into Gavin Newsom. No, I'm not even joking. Remember, one day I put out a tweet. I said Gavin Newsom to call for the recall of Gavin Newsom. And then the Babylon Bee a couple weeks later came out with something like Gavin Newsom to sue Gavin Newsom. Right. But Gavin Newsom is now basically launching an investigation into the policies of Gavin Newsom during COVID. Cut 24.
Certain strategies to mitigate the impacts of this novel disease, coronavirus. What's interesting about this process is none of us have really reviewed in an objective way. It's all through the lens of politics, what we did right and what we did wrong. And so I'll answer that question by telling you what I've just tasked. I've asked our team to put together an objective review of everything we did right, everything we did wrong. We're interviewing people that vehemently disagree with us, that oppose the mask mandates, that oppose the stay-at-home orders, people that are international experts. We're stress testing our entire process, coulda, shoulda, woulda, comparing and contrasting to what other states did. I mean, Florida shut down their bars and restaurants before California,
But they opened them up a lot sooner than California. Slick, right? That's nice you're going to do that now. 5 years later. 5 years, you tyrant. I remember doing stories during COVID of all these poor people in the hospitality industry who were losing everything. And, you know, speaking of Tom Cruise and Top Gun Maverick, part of the reason why Hollywood left California, a lot of reasons, the millionaire's tax, the fees and the nonsense and the bureaucracy, but a big part of it was COVID. They locked down everything. You couldn't shoot a movie. So Tom Cruise convinced England to let him finish shooting Mission Impossible, or excuse me, Top Gun Maverick over there. And then now they've been shooting movies over there ever since because of that jackass who acts like, oh, we're going to do a thorough review. I remember at one point this poor woman who was a caterer to movie studios, and she wasn't allowed to do outdoor catering for outdoor movie shoots. They wouldn't let her do that. In 2021, I remember that. Here's Newsom now on his biggest COVID regret. As everybody was out there saying, you can be outside. Outside is good. You should be outside. Outside is great. And I was saying that in April of 2020. COVID doesn't spread outdoors. I was saying that. Go back. Listen, I was saying it back then. And believe me, we were very careful back then. We just had a newborn baby. Reagan was born April 16th, 2020. Speaking of COVID babies, my God, right? So we did every precaution possible, but I still knew outside you couldn't get it because that was the thing. It didn't transmit outside. COVID doesn't spread outside. And I knew that then, just like I knew it came from a lab, and I was vindicated on the lab, and I was vindicated on that point too. But Newsom and other lefties wouldn't believe it. There's still some people that don't believe it. There's still some people out there who wear masks on city streets while they're riding their bikes. I don't understand these people. I can't figure this out to save my life. But COVID doesn't spread outside. Never did. But this is Newsom's biggest regret. Cut 25.
About people being outside even. And we realized then, after the fact, what the hell are we doing shutting down the beaches and open areas, and you know, and not understanding that early on. And so I think that of all issues, looking back, I remember Florida, there was a big issue too, even there.
No, there wasn't. They were open. They opened. Everybody could go on the beach and everybody was living their life a lot sooner. They initially, a lot of people, everybody locked down initially, everybody. And then normal states and good governors like DeSantis opened up. And you, tyrants like you and Gretchen Whitmer and Murphy and Cuomo, when you weren't killing people in nursing homes, you shut down parks, you shut down beaches. I remember New Jersey, I remember arguing with some idiot park official that I had to wear a mask hiking through a park in Burlington County, New Jersey, in 2021, in the summer of 2021. Friggin' hot as hell out. And this guy comes up to me, he goes, you need a mask on. I go, why? I'm outside and nobody's around me. Well, the park rules state you have to wear a mask. I said, I'm not wearing a mask. You're going to lock me up for not wearing a mask? I'm not wearing a mask. I'm out by myself. I'm outside in a friggin' park. There's nobody even around me. And he may, I could write you a summons. I said, write me a summons. Go ahead. Do me a favor. And he just grunted and waddled back to his Jeep or whatever he was in. But yeah. No, the tyrants knew everything. Remember when Gavin Newsom went to that restaurant, French Laundry? He didn't have any problem breaking his own rules, violating his own rules. Yeah, he keeps bringing up Florida. Well, they shut down first. They shut down first. Who cares who shut down first? It's who opened up first, you idiot. I don't mind anybody who took precautions in March of 2020. I don't blame them. I don't blame a single person who took precautions in March of 2020. I blame them if they were still taking precautions in March of 2021 or August or June or July of 2020 or May of 2020. When it came to outdoors, absolutely, 100%. And people like you were. No, I mean, Murphy was telling everybody, go outside and take a walk, but make sure you socially distance. And you have to be 6 feet apart outside when you're walking. So people would play this game where they would, remember, zigzag across the street from each other? And then, stupid, dumb. But it was, you looked at the blue states versus the red states and how they operated. Oh, Florida shut down first? Who cares who shut down first? It was March. We didn't know what this thing was going to be. I don't begrudge anybody for the actions they took in March of 2020. I begrudge people for the actions they didn't take in the subsequent months when we found out this virus was not killing people in the way that they said it was. And we knew who was vulnerable and who wasn't. And we knew how it spread and how it didn't. But people like you refused, just like how they refused to acknowledge it came from a lab, and they told us we were crazy, and they refused to acknowledge that things like sunshine and vitamin D were good for us, and getting outside and exercising were good for us. And remember, Murphy kept that gym locked down. You couldn't go to the gym. So you those guys from Attila's gym had to go and kick down the doors of their own gym and get fined by the state, and then you could go to the liquor store and you could go to the fast food places. But you couldn't go to the gym and exercise. So this revisionist history with these people is amazing. Yeah, is that true? California had a state of COVID emergency until February 28th, 2023, Matt?
Yeah, that's when they officially ended the state of emergency.
Florida ended their lockdown when?
On May 4th, 2020.
So Florida shut down first, as Gavin Newsom points out, but reopened on May 4th of 2020. California shut down after Florida, but didn't reopen until February of 2023.
Yeah, that's when the state of emergency was officially lifted, and their widespread restrictions weren't lifted until June 15th, 2020. So that they obviously were locked down in some capacity for much longer than Florida.
Amazing. Oh, man. This guy... And then what is this now? What is 26 now in to disguise his immeasurable leftism? Matt, cut 26.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is Gavin Newsom on the same podcast with Sean Ryan. Ryan gifted him a handgun. And,
why?
Well, because Newsom insists that he's not anti-gun.
Okay. All right. I really wish people like Sean Ryan would stop trying to normalize this weasel. But here's cut 26.
Last thing people would expect is that I respect this gift.
Ready for this?
This is an accident. I got to report this gift, man.
That is a California compliant Big Sour P365 Macro.
This is too cool. The fact that you would give me this. You just want TSA to take this from me and not the airport. I'm on to you, man.
I got a buddy at SIG, and he was like, you got to get a SIG in his hand.
Jason. Brother, this is fabulous. I'm not anti-gun at all. I'm for just some gun safety. Common sense. I'm challenged by large capacity magazine clips in urban centers, weapons of war, sometimes outgunning the police. But otherwise, man, people have the right to bear arms, and I've got no ideological opposition to that at all. By the way, you gave me a damn gun, so as we move to part two, here's the bear.
Thank you.
Legit. I mean, I know it's not, you know, sidearm.
Hey, that's all right. I got plenty of those.
So that gun's not a weapon of war? You wouldn't use that in war? Is that basically what I'm understanding correctly? Is that right? You wouldn't take that badass sidearm and shoot the enemy if he was close to you and trying to kill you? Because that's not a weapon of war. Is that it? Is that, I guess? Now, my issue is large capacity magazines in urban areas and weapons of war, man, not this. Man, hey, brother, thank you, brother. Would you stop normalizing this guy? My God, what are people doing? I thought Sean Ryan I don't know Sean Ryan. Who is this guy, Matt?
I don't know anything about him either. He went viral, I think, for the first time just because he had Gavin Newsom on the show. Now, originally, I thought maybe he presented the gun as, like, a troll.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was his intention. I didn't watch the whole interview, but yeah, Newsom evidently loved it and is very pro Second Amendment.
Very, very. He has no issue with guns at all, except for the amount of ammunition a gun can hold, the kind of gun, where you can have the gun, and who can have the gun. But otherwise, he's totally for the Second Amendment.
In 2022, he also backed legislation allowing private citizens to sue gun manufacturers.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. And private citizens could sue gun manufacturers, which is completely antithetical to federal law. But yeah. But he's totally on board, man. And you and God knows you would never use a Sig Sauer P365X macro pistol in war. No way. No how. No way. That Sig Sauer would never show up in a battle. What a jacket. Oh, I'm frustrated. Show me the good. Why is there a gay robot on my cut? What is this?
Finally,
are you just trying to make my blood pressure go up today?
Matt has been so excited. He's been talking about this cut nonstop yesterday and today.
I've been dying for you to play this clip. Now, obviously, we couldn't do it yesterday because we had too many moving parts on during the remote broadcast. But we got to get to the Rizbot.
What makes a robot gay, out of curiosity?
I don't know. He just is. But
you'll see the video and it'll make sense.
He's wild. His name is the Rizbot, and he's I guess he just lives in Los Angeles now. He was manufactured by the Chinese-based company Unitree Robotics. And he's a humanoid robot. He's 4 feet tall for anyone that can't see the video. He weighs about 77 pounds. Please enjoy.
All right. You're going to have to describe this to me because I don't have the YouTube open. So narrate for me, please, if you would.
Not real. Hi, Gorge.
All right. So Rizbot is he's wearing a lot of rainbow gear. He's also got a cowboy hat on.
That is a robot.
Oh my God.
He's wearing sneakers too.
What
the? All right, the women are screaming because Rizbot just sprinted across the street to, I guess, after somebody.
Yes!
He's got a little face.
Rizbot has got rainbows on him. Now I see it in a cowboy hat.
Hey, robot!
And he's got a sign on his stomach that says, not Elon's. I can't say the word, but it's a female dog. Evidently, he's not a fan of Elon Musk.
Not Elon's B, the gay robot Rizbot. This is China. This is what China's going to do. They're going to send these things all over, and then they're going to, oh, look, a fun gay rainbow robot. And then the thing's going to rip your head off and kill you.
Did you see him sprint across the street?
Yeah, as fast as hell.
It's creepy. He saw somebody he wanted to, I guess, meet up with and just darted.
That's California for you. But yeah, I'd vote for that robot over Gavin Newsom. I would. If I had a choice, came down to it. Gay Chinese robot or Gavin Newsom, I'm voting for the gay Chinese robot.
Who do you think is more pro-Second Amendment, Gavin Newsom or the Rizbot?
Who do you think is more authentically human, Rizbot or Gavin Newsom? That's the question.
Probably Rizbot, honestly.
Who is more human? Who is more authentic, this Chinese-made gay robot or Gavin Newsom? Man, I'm telling you, I just can't. I'm losing my mind here. I don't know how I could do this every day. I don't know. How can you? How can anybody? Newsom, stop going. Is this Sean Ryan a good guy or a bad guy?
I genuinely don't know anything about him. I hadn't heard of him before until the Newsom interview, and then he was like everywhere all of a sudden.
It seems kind of soft for a former Navy SEAL, yeah. Chris Eppolito, new scum is pro-gun like Rich is pro-brioche bun. Yeah, excellent point, Chris. Thank you. No, I'm for brioche bun. under the following circumstances, as long as it's not in a restaurant, not on anyone's plate, not on a burger, not for sale, and nobody's allowed to eat it. Otherwise, I'm all for brioche, brother. Love brioche.
You're missing out on the brioche revolution.
Brioche revolution is coming to an end. I'm telling you, seeded buns are making a comeback. Navy Prepper says that was the SEAL sidearm of choice that apparently was gifted to AI Gavin Newsom. Wow. You know, there you go. I'm just saying. That guy is such a slime ball. All right, coming up, more to come on all this. Let's talk about what's going on overseas. And Whoopi Goldberg is losing her mind. I'll tell you what that's all about as well as we continue. But yesterday was a great day in Pennsylvania. $92 billion of investment. Had Senator Dave McCormick on the show earlier today. If you missed it, you should definitely go back and listen to the podcast. You can catch the show now also on the iHeartRadio app in addition to the Odyssey app. iHeartRadio app, and of course, we're streaming live on YouTube as well, so join the fun with that. Let me tell you about Emmons. Emmons Roofing and Siding. How does 10% off sound for you? 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. 10% off. You don't even need it for inflation anymore because inflation's basically gone, but you still get the 10% off. Anderson Windows, doors, siding, roofing. Well, the reason why I love Emmons is because they're trustworthy. My friends Matt and Stephanie, they've done great work for our home. The whole team at Emmons dedicated to it. And speaking to Eppolito, we have them come out to his shore house and give an estimate on the roof. How is that roof doing at the Jersey Shore? Make sure you take a look at it. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. The team at Emmons will make sure that you're happy. They also have a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. And yes, they remodel both in our old home. Bridget was thrilled. The key is you get a great design team and they take care of everything and no detail is overlooked. That's the Emmons difference. Your home will not only look beautiful from the curb, your home is going to have more protection. You'll have more peace of mind. Your house will be able to withstand the elements, a lifetime warranty on the roof. It's all there for you. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Trust the team at Emmons like I've trusted them for over a decade now. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Welcome back. Glad you're here today. Speaker Series with Giano Caldwell coming up July 31st, 2 weeks from now. So get your tickets today before you miss out on that. Have a great night. Gianna's a fun guy, really smart, super, super funny, and we'll have a great conversation. Yeah, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow is our Politics and Pints. So go to 1210WPHG.com right now and get your tickets so you don't miss out hanging out with me and Gianna Caldwell on stage at Bucks County Community College. All right? Do that today, 1210WPHG.com. The Fed Chair Jerome Powell is getting to stay for now. There was all this rumor going around that the president was going to fire him today. The president said he's not going to fire him, at least not at the moment. This is what he said regarding Powell. This is cut number two, and we'll see where this goes from here. But he apparently is going to let him finish out his term, at least as of right now. Cut two.
Do you have plans, or if you're back considering firing Jerome Powell, and what's your justification if you're thinking about this to do this?
He's always been too late, hence his nickname, Too Late. He should have cut interest rates a long time ago. Europe has cut them 10 times in the short period of time, and we cut them none. The only time he cut them was just before the election to try and help Kamala or Biden, whoever the hell it was, because nobody really knew. Obviously, that didn't work, but he tried to cut him for the Democrats, Kamala. And how did that work out? You'll tell me. It didn't work out too well, did it? But he's I think he does a terrible job. He's costing us a lot of money, and we fight through it. It's almost the country's become so successful that it doesn't have a big impact, but it does hurt people wanting to get a mortgage. People want to buy a house. He's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. I was surprised, frankly, that Biden put him in and extended him. But they did. So, no, we're not planning on doing anything. We're very concerned. He's doing a little renovation for $2.5 billion of the Fed, building a renovation, and they have a close to $900 million cost overrun. And it's a shame. But the biggest cost overrun is the cost overrun for interest rates, because we should be paying 3 points lower, and we would save $1 trillion a year in interest if that were the case. And all it is the stroke of a pen. And that goes for his board, too, because his board is not doing the job, because they should try and rein this guy in. So he's doing a lousy job. But no, I'm not talking about that. Fortunately, we get to make a change in the next, 8 months or so. And we'll pick somebody that's good, and we'll pick somebody. I just want a fair job. We want to see lower interest rates. Our country deserves it. We're making a lot of money. We're doing great as a country. We have no inflation. Record stock market, record business, record everything. Everything's a record now. We had the worst inflation in history under Biden, and now we have almost no inflation. We've done a great job, and we should have the interest rates cut.
So Representative Anna Paulina Luna yesterday tweeted out that she could confirm that Powell was getting fired. So all these people got excited today, thinking that he was going to get the axe. And that's not the case. The president was asked a follow-up question by a reporter today regarding Powell, and this is cut number three.
Are you completely ruling out the idea of firing Jerome Powell?
I don't rule out anything, but I think it's highly unlikely, unless he has to leave for fraud. I mean, it's possible there's fraud involved with the $2.7 billion renovation. This is a renovation. How do you spend $2.7 billion? And he didn't have proper clearance, et cetera, et cetera. So you know that's going on. So, you know, there could be something to that. But I think he's not doing a good job. He's got a very easy job to do. You know what he has to do? Lower interest rates.
So I agree, and I can't wait for Jerome Powell to go. Personally, I would like to see the whole Fed go. I can't stand it, to be honest with you. It really frustrates me that they have so much power. It absolutely does. But I guess he's not going to fire him, so... You know, there you go. Something I don't understand that the Trump administration is doing is they are defending a ban on the purchase of handguns, interstate handgun sales. I don't know why they're defending this ban in court. This is another question I would have to ask the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, if I could. Why are we defending this? There's a Second Amendment lawsuit that was brought by a gun group. So right now you can't, as a resident of one state, go to another state and buy a gun and bring it back to your state. The way that it has to go right now is you've got to arrange and pay for shipment of the weapon to a licensed dealer in your state. That's how the transaction has to go. There's a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas taking aim at the rule, arguing that it is inconsistent with the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Firearms Policy Coalition says the ban on interstate handgun sales fails the constitutional test that the Supreme Court established in 2022 in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. As president now, the president, Trump, technically speaking right now, you know, because he's a quote unquote convicted felon, is not allowed to possess firearms. He can't buy one, which is ridiculous, even though he's the commander in chief. And even if his convictions are overturned on appeal, he's still not allowed to buy a handgun in any state that he might visit as president of the United States. So like if he was in Pennsylvania yesterday and decided to buy a gun at a gun store in Pittsburgh, he couldn't, because he would be violating federal law. If he were to take it with him, they'd have to do the purchase through a licensed gun store in one state to the other to be in compliance with this federal law. And so this gun group is suing, and yet the government now is defending this rule. The administration is defending the restriction against the Firearm Coalition challenge, saying it serves legitimate objectives and only modestly burdens the right to keep and bear arms. The government lawyers concede that the ban on interstate handgun sales unquestionably burdens the fundamental right to keep and bear arms, but they argue it aligns with the nation's regulatory tradition, citing several historical precedents that the gun group describes as irrelevant or inadequate. This is from Reason.com. The government presents the ban at issue in the case, which stems from legislation the Congress approved in 1968. As a, quote-unquote, sensible safeguard aimed at preventing the sale of handguns to potentially dangerous individuals who are not legally allowed to possess them. On the face of it, that rationale does not make much sense. The plaintiffs in this case include Elite Precision Customs. They're a gun dealer in Mansfield, Texas, and two would-be customers of that business, both of whom are firearms instructors who conduct classes across the country. Tim Heron, who lives in New Mexico, and Freddie Blish, who lives in Arizona. If they were allowed to buy handguns directly from Elite Precision Customs, they would still have to complete the forms and background checks required by federal law, which aims to prevent firearms purchases by disqualified buyers. Making Heron and Blish go through that process in their home states after the Texas gun store ships their purchase to their home state does not provide any obvious public safety benefit because they're already going through the federal background check. But what it does do is it makes them pay money. It imposes time and monetary costs on law-abiding citizens. We're just trying to purchase a gun. In addition to that, there are a number of, on a side note, in New Jersey, it's $150 to get your permit to carry. Several towns, including a town up in North Jersey, Franklin Borough in Sussex County, New Jersey, and a town in South Jersey, they're now reimbursing that fee to their residents because, again, the government trying to make it as difficult as possible and to try to reach into your pockets and take money from you just to be able to exercise your constitutional rights, that borough is going to reimburse you the $150 that the permit cost, which I say, good for them. It's great. Excellent. I wonder what other fees we could get our local governments to reimburse us from that the state requires. When it comes to the Constitution, I don't mean a driver's license or anything. I'm talking about constitutional rights that because you really there's not many other rights you can think of that come with a monetary cost to it. Right. I mean, think about it. There might be a permit fee if you want to have a parade, or you might have a fee if you want to have a large protest. You might have to fill out paperwork and maybe pay a small charge or something like that. But Nothing in comparison to what some places charge for you to be able to get a firearm. I wonder what the gun-loving Second Amendment Gavin Newsom slimeball, I wonder what it costs to buy a gun in California. I wonder what kind of paperwork you have to go through there. Anyway, the government, this government, this administration is defending this law that is being challenged in court. I don't understand why. I don't understand why, and I hope the Supreme Court overturns this and says that it's ridiculous. Why can't I buy a legal product across state lines? I don't understand. If it's legal in my state, why can't I buy it? I don't really get that. I mean, if I can't legally buy fireworks, which are not protected under the Constitution in my state, but I can drive to another state and buy them, but this is a gun, this is a handgun, this is a firearm that is protected by the Second Amendment. All 50 states are covered by the federal constitution. Why can't I buy one in whatever state I want without having to go through this onerous, ordinary process of having them ship it? And then I got to pay the extra money. I got to go through the extra background check. I got to bust my chops and pay more money. And you see what I mean? Why? For what purpose other than to just bust my chops so that they can get a little cheddar cheese? You know what I mean? Another fee, another permit fee, another this fee, another... Give me a break. I live in Jersey. Now, first of all, I mean, Bob's Little Sports Shop, they're our sponsor. So I'd love for you to come to Bob's. And if you live in Pennsylvania or Delaware, you come to Bob's, buy your gun, and they'll have to ship it to you in your state. But it's stupid. You should just be able to get it and then leave with it and go back without having to go through this onerous federal process because you're already doing the federal background check. I don't know why And it's probably has to do with the fact that there are lawyers within the government who are, I don't know, held over. Or maybe they're working against the administration. Maybe they just don't care about the Second Amendment. But this seems like a gigantic waste of my taxpayer dollars to defend this law in court. Right? I mean, you talk about having the government having better things to do. Okay, how about the Trump administration having something better to do than defend this dumb law that has a ban on interstate gun sales? Like, I'm sure there's other things those government lawyers can do with their time, right? I would imagine. One would think. Let's play this for you. This is, here we go. Democrat Bernie Thompson, Benny Thompson, excuse me, of the infamous January 6th committee. Stopped the hearing when Republican witnesses pointed out how Democrat rhetoric has led to an 800% increase in assaults against ICE agents. The president of the Oversight Project, Mike Howell, was offering congressional testimony. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile and get that free implant consultation. Stop putting it off today. VeneriaDental.com. So in the middle of this hearing, Benny Thompson didn't like what he was hearing, so he shut it down. Cut 21.
Thank you for giving me a platform to plead with members of this body, all on the Democrat side, to stand down on their threats against the men and women of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The violence is getting out of control, and it is fueled by the demagoguery of politicians. Whether it is one of your members telling Axios that there needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public, another saying civility isn't working and to prepare for violence, or even a member of this committee being arrested for forcibly impeding and interfering with federal officials, this escalation deserves condemnation. It needs to stop, and it needs to stop now. Assaults against ICE officers are up over 830%, and that's a lowball estimate. There have been violent incidents in Alvarado, McAllen,
the gentleman suspend briefly. Yes, Mr.
So, I got a point of order. Pursuant to Clause 2K8 of Rule 11, I raise a point of order that this testimony is outside the scope of the hearing.
I don't want to hear how your rhetoric is bringing up all of these ICE people. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence coming up in the next hour, and I'm also going to come back to the Epstein stuff because there's other stuff I didn't get to earlier on it. I'm just giving you a heads up because it's an important story, and we got to talk about it. I don't know why some news outlets are not covering this at all. I don't really get it. But Megyn Kelly is all in on this, and she's not giving up. She's going to keep going with this. There is an exchange between Megyn Kelly and Ben Shapiro on the Megyn Kelly podcast. And so Ben Shapiro is on the side of let this go. There's no conspiracy. Megyn Kelly is all in on this idea that we got to figure this out and that the truth needs to come out. She's not letting this go. So here's this exchange between these two. Cut number 10.
So that I have the names of the people who are making the claim that that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself and that the most gross, you know, and sort of extreme of the conspiracy theories or theories, just don't even call them conspiracy theories, the most sort of, you know, extreme version of the theory is not true. I have names of the people who are claiming that. Okay, they are all in the administration. And this is my point. If other people want to make those claims that are counter to that, then they should provide evidence or at least put their names on it so we can question them about that as well. Because otherwise, we're just in the realm of pure speculation. And frankly, I just don't find that useful. I would love more useful information. This is why I'm angry at Pam Bondi. I think there should be all the useful information possible. But the same thing holds true for people who are making claims on the other side. Otherwise, I can claim that he was working for a cadre of space aliens who are blackmailing high-profile Americans in order to protect from a future invasion. And there's just about as much evidence for that as many of the claims that are being made on the other side.
All right, well, let's
any
talk about that.
That is made requires evidence. Any claim that's being made requires actual evidence. And at the very least, in the absence of evidence, the credible names of the people that I can either trust or not trust, ranging from, again, the president of the United States and vice president to the head of the FBI, the AG, and the deputy head of the FBI.
Well, I think it's very hard to say those people need to come out and put their names on their on these claims when they're working for an administration, this one and the one before, that didn't want that to come out. You're asking somebody to countermand the people they work for.
How am I supposed to falsify their claims? Now we're working in the realm of the unfalsified.
You're not, but you're look, Ben, you can't come to me and say, everybody I know says he killed himself. And then I respond saying, I actually have my own sources who say he didn't. And then you say, well, your sources are not valid because they won't put their names on it. Okay.
Well,
who are your sources? Let's go down
the
list and then we'll talk about why they might be saying that.
My sources are the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, Cash Patel, the head of the FBI, Dan Bongino, the deputy head of the FBI, and Pam Bondi, the attorney general. And those aren't just my sources. Okay. They're everybody's sources because they publicly came out and said this.
Okay. Trump hasn't specifically weighed in on that specific aspect of it. We've all seen the limited things that Trump has said and tweeted on this. And J.D. Vance was calling for transparency and suggesting otherwise prior to taking office. He hasn't commented on this so far, so he's not
so
one of your sources.
Ask him. He's the vice
you've
president.
You've got Cash,
so
you've got Dan, and you've got Pam, and we've already discussed that memo in full detail. I'm talking about people behind the scenes who, prior to Trump taking office, I'm not going to get too specific. But trust me, I have high-level sources who have said they don't believe any of that. Any of that.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to out them for purposes of convincing you, but
well,
you're telling
I
me name them.
In.
I know I'm not
you
going
get
to.
You get the point, but it's a battle that – this is the battle that's raging right now, and it's raging everywhere. And, you know, Dershowitz came out and said there's – no client list. There's affidavits from accusers. There's judges in New York blocking it. The president has more than enough cover then to punt on this issue and not say anything instead of lecturing the base and calling them names and calling them stupid and saying he doesn't want their support anymore. There's more than enough cover here between Bondi, who's there to take the slings and arrows, these judges in New York. The president doesn't need to touch this at all. Without question. So, again, you've got cover. There's cover. There's plenty of cover here without having to go after the base. I'll talk more about this in the next hour, but I have a guest coming up and joining me. But I just wanted to share this with you. This is what Alan Dershowitz said regarding the list. He was obviously one of the people who defended Epstein when he pled guilty to soliciting minors for prostitution. This is what he said to the lesser Cuomo, Cut 11.
Is the government hiding a client list or anything that the Trump administration could release tonight?
No, there is no client list. There never has been a client list. A client list suggests that Jeffrey Epstein made a list of people to whom he trafficked women. What there is a redacted FBI affidavit from accusers. There are several of them from accusers that accuse Jeffrey, that accuse various people of having improper sex. And that has been redacted. The names of the people accused have been blacked out. Now, of course, because I was the lawyer and I did only investigations, I know who all these people are. I could figure out, based on everything that I saw, who Mr. X is, Mr. Y is, and Mr. Z. I can tell you right now, none of them are public figures who are currently in office. Some of them were previously in office. Some of them are dead. But there is no client list.
If there are accusers and these judges are blocking them, like Dershowitz is saying, then punt it to the judge. Don't insult the base. Don't insult your voters. Don't call them stupid. And don't mock them for wanting to get answers to this when you said you'd give them the answers. All right, more on this. Got a big hour still to come. Let's talk about AI, though, and the threats of China after we are on the victorious heels of the $92 billion investment in energy and innovation yesterday in Pittsburgh. Don't go away.